for Nightlight. So this morning, open them up, and we're going to continue where we left off last week. We're in a series called The Spirit-Filled Marriage, The Spirit-Filled Marriage. And I believe last week was a blessing to many. At least that's what I heard from many different couples and folks, and was encouraged to hear that. And also, I believe that all hell broke out against some marriages last week. I believe the enemy is absolutely on a course to try to disrupt marriages and to cause fatalities, if you will, in marriages. And let me tell you, when you begin to really step into the truth of God's word and seek to walk that out, hell is going to resist you. Hell is going to resist you because you're taking new ground. You're walking in a new level of authority. Somebody once said, new levels, new devils. When you decide to do what God's called you to do, to walk in a new place of victory and oneness in the Spirit, there's going to be challenges along the way. How many of you know what I'm saying? And I want us to be praying together, every one of us praying in this place for marriages. I think this is one of the most important battlefields right now that's going on. The enemy's trying to take men down with pornography. The enemy's trying to even influence women in that regard. The enemy is absolutely working against healthy, strong, whole marriages. The enemy's trying to create this whole redefinition of gender and relationships, and we're living in a very interesting time, and one of the greatest things we can do is be a light of the gospel and let God come and bless and build and strengthen our marriages that they might be an example to others. So I'm going to encourage you to get last week's message because last week's message really builds toward this week's, okay? So if you feel like you're a little bit out of the flow, get last week's message. Hopefully there's some CDs or you can get it soon on the podcast. So let's go ahead and dive in. I want to give you some quick important truths just to kind of lay the foundation again quickly for us on where we started last week, but I'm not going to do near what I did last week, so I encourage you to really get last week's CD or listen to that. There's two important truths that I want to begin with as we kind of lay the foundation for where we're going today. First, God created marriage perfectly to succeed 100% of the time. You really need to get that in your heart. Marriage is a holy institution created by God, and He loves marriage. He absolutely loves marriage. Marriage is God's idea, and He wants it to succeed. He wants it to be blessed 100% of the time. But important truth number two comes into play for that to happen, and it's simply this. We must obey God's plan in order for our marriages to succeed. You must be looking to the Word and be understanding the truths that God has revealed about marriage and how two are to become one and how they're to walk out that oneness for your marriage to succeed. So we kind of started there and then went to three foundational truths about the Holy Spirit marriage last week. Let me just rehearse them quickly and then we're going to move on from there. Simply this. Number one, the Holy Spirit binds us together, spirit to spirit, in the deepest intimacy possible. The deepest intimacy possible is spiritual intimacy. And God knits us together, body, soul, spirit, in marriage, where there's this intimacy, not just between husband and wife, but with God. A marriage isn't just a contract. It's not a legal agreement. It's a spiritual dynamic. It's something that happens when God is invited in together with a husband and wife, and this binding together of one flesh happens. Number two, the Holy Spirit fills us, and He meets our deepest needs that no other human being can meet. And sometimes the problem in our marriages is simply that we're putting expectations on our spouse that, quite honestly, only God can meet. When you're expecting to pull something of God out of your spouse that only God can provide, you're really creating, if you will, a scenario where there isn't going to be success. There's going to be a letdown. So the Holy Spirit wants to fill us on a daily basis. The best thing you can possibly do for your marriage is every day get up, get in that secret place with God, ask for a fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your life to love your spouse, to love your kids, to love your coworkers, to literally be Jesus to them throughout the day. And if both spouses do that, let me tell you, there's going to be an intimacy and a blessing in that marriage that cannot happen any other way. The deepest needs of our heart are found in God, and we've got to get those needs met by Him so that then we can in turn, love our spouses. Number three, the Holy Spirit empowers us to love and to relate to each other beyond what we're humanly capable of. My love is limited. God's love is unlimited. My love has boundaries. God's love is boundless. God will love through you in a way that you can never do on your own. So this morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about seven specific benefits that will come to us that we can receive together from the Holy Spirit that will help us and bless us in our marriage like nothing else will. And these are things that are readily available to you today. So let's focus in on these things together this morning. Seven benefits freely available from the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. I believe that most of us are living way below what the Holy Spirit would like to do in our lives. I believe the Holy Spirit has so much more for most of us. I believe, quite honestly, most of us are kind of living, if you will, Craig Rochelle had a book out a few years ago, The Christian Atheist. And it sounded like an oxymoron, but it's interesting. Many of us will confess a belief in God, and then yet we live as if God is not a part of our daily reality. We live as if it's up to us, and we have to do it on our own. And Jesus said, and he said some powerful words in John chapter 16 that I want to remind you of as we dive in this morning. John 16, 7 says this, and these are the words of Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, everybody say the helper. The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Can you believe that Jesus literally said to his disciples who he's been walking with, living with, ministering with, he's been pouring his heart into them. He literally, there comes a day and a time when he looks them in the eye and he says to them, it's going to be better for you if I leave. It's hard to believe. Hard to believe till we realize something. That the Holy Spirit is the presence and the power and the person, so to speak, of Jesus with us everywhere we go at all times. That Jesus was limited to an earthly body to one place at one time. The Holy Spirit's presence can be with you throughout your day. The Holy Spirit will walk with you and talk with you and manifest to you the revelation, the power, the knowledge, the Spirit of Jesus every day, everywhere you go. And this is so incredibly important. In fact, the word helper, I want to focus on that word for just a moment. It's the Greek word parakletos. And it literally means to walk beside, to aid. If there was somebody standing right here and I came and I put my arm around them and I said, let's walk together. And I'm right here to help you. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to speak to you. I'm here to direct you. And I'm close and I'm holding you tight. This is the Holy Spirit, the helper that Jesus said, I'm going to send for you and it's to your advantage. But in reality, I think most of us have the Holy Spirit over here somewhere, and we're over here somewhere, and for whatever reason, we've either kind of distanced ourselves, or we don't realize our need for, or we don't call out to Him, or we don't, in some way, shape, or form, we have not understood the closeness and the relationship and the empowering and the blessing that if every day we woke up and said, Holy Spirit, I so desperately need your presence in my life today, that He would bring. He is there to be there for you. John 14, let me show you one more time. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Here's what Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. The Holy Spirit is with you. He comes, listen, he comes to the degree you ask him and allow him. And that's why some of us are walking over here and the Holy Spirit is over here. We're not asking and allowing him to literally be that closest one to us who is walking with us, comforting us, encouraging us every day. So let me give you seven things quickly this morning the Holy Spirit wants to bring in your life that will deeply impact your marriage for God's glory. The first is unity. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the, what's it say? The Spirit in the bond of peace. See, a divided marriage is a setup for failure. A divided marriage is a setup for failure. Human unity, the kind that you and I try to strike, is what I would call head unity. But Holy Spirit unity is heart unity. And there's a great difference. When you are united together through the Spirit in the bond of peace, you feel like a team. As a husband and wife, you feel like a team. You feel like you're together as one, not divided as two individuals going in two different directions. Now, my wife is very different than me, and you know what? I'm glad she is, because God makes us one in him, unified, and he helps us to walk together as one. I don't need another me. I need her. She complements and completes me in my walk with God. She's a part of the equation. Sometimes we sing things, and I'm always looking at the words of worship songs, because sometimes the things we sing are not exactly in accordance with Scripture. Sometimes we sing things like, Lord, you're all I need. You're all I need. Listen, I have discovered I need her too. How many of you are with me this morning? I'm getting real practical here. Is the Lord all I need? Or did the Lord look at me and say, you need a helpmate? Pal, without her, you're going to be lost like a goose in the fog. You need her in your life. God knew I needed a wife. Listen, when I was a young person, and to all of our young people in the room, I surrendered that to the Lord. I said, God, if you don't want me to be married, I surrender that to you. You're Lord of my life. But if you have someone for me, you make that clear. And he absolutely did. In the book of Genesis, you've got to realize this. God's going through all these different things, and everything is good, everything is good, everything is good. There was one thing that wasn't good, and it was for man to be alone. So he made Eve out of Adam, out of that rib, to walk together. How many of you are thankful for marriage? And how many of you are hopeful for marriage? Amen? For those of you who are single and believing, and God is preparing you even now for what is ahead. This is important. God makes us one and helps us to walk as one. Second is personal nurturing and comfort. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18 says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Once again, that word parakletos, the one called alongside to comfort us and to encourage us and to exhort us. Listen, men and women are made in the image and the likeness of God. You know what that means? That means that all women are made in the image of God. How many of you would agree with that? Are women made in the image of God? Amen? Men, you better put your hands up quick. Let me tell you. The ladies are looking around. You better put your hand up. You better vote on that one. So, if men and women are made in the image and the likeness of God, then part of the image of God is maternal. Part of the nature and the character of God is maternal. And I want to say something to you. Maybe you've never heard or never considered. I believe the Holy Spirit represents that maternal part of God's image and likeness. And I'll try to kind of build that out for you over these next couple of weeks. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is female. Every time, you know, the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Scripture, the Holy Spirit's mentioned in a masculine gender. But the Holy Spirit has the same name that God gave to Eve. Same name. Helper, comforter, helper. Greek, or the Hebrew word is azar. God, when he made woman, he made woman a helper to man, out of man, to be beside man, to walk with man, to be that help to him that he so desperately needed. Helper, parakletos, they're synonymous. The Holy Spirit has the same characteristics, I believe, as women often do. Sensitive, gentle, spiritual, and yet powerful. Amen, men. That's what women are. You ever watched a woman with a baby? What a beautiful thing. Sometimes I'm just taken with that. My wife has got this built-in radar. You know, this morning when Heather came up and had cute little Landon, my wife's first thought was, can I hold Landon? I'm over here trying to hear the word that Heather had. My wife is wanting to get a hold of that baby. It was kind of like, get out of the way, pal. I want that baby. Felt a little of her power as she swept me aside there, you know? But then all of a sudden, this tenderness comes out. This love and affection comes out. That's a beautiful thing if you've ever witnessed it, and I know all of you have. Men, some of us, quite honestly, you hand us a baby, it's the most awkward thing in the world. We're kind of like, okay, here, I think he needs to go back to you. You know, we're not quite sure what to do. We try to make faces. We try to, you know, throw him the football. No, I'm just kidding. We're not sure what to do until they get a little older, and then we can throw a ball with them, and it all gets good. But it's interesting. So I think you're seeing, when you see that, when you see a woman with a baby, it's an amazing, beautiful sight. And I think you're seeing the nature of God at work. God put that in the heart of a woman, and it's part of the reflection of his character and his nature. See, I'll be honest with you. We all need mamas. You know, I went through a very difficult time in my life. I lost my mom way too early. And that was a very difficult season for me. And it's been a difficult season ever since because, man, even at 52 years of age, I still want my mom. There are times I still wish I could just go to her and sit down and share my hurts, my challenges. It seems like nobody understands like a mom does. I don't want to crawl up in her lap anymore like I did when I was a little boy, but I still need that comfort and that love and that care, that nurture of a mom. When my grandmother passed away, I was very close to my mom and my grandmother. The realization hit me one day like a ton of bricks. I didn't have that maternal place to go anymore. Mom and grandma both were gone, and that left an incredible void in my own heart and life. There's something here just so beautiful, and I want you to get it. And the Holy Spirit is the representation of that maternal side of the heart of God. The Holy Spirit's gentle. The Holy Spirit's loving. The Holy Spirit's kind. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit loves to love. That's a good place for an amen. The Holy Spirit loves to love. And I'm not trying to throw out some kind of weird doctrine here, but listen to this. When you receive God into your life, you ever thought about this? You get a father, you get a mother, and you get a brother. And it's this wonderful, I mean, God's all about relationship. The Holy Spirit, the Trinity is all about relationship. And he invites us into this wonderful dance of relationship. Heavenly Father's our Father. Holy Spirit, I think, manifests that maternal side and instinct of God in the loving sensitivity and care. And then Jesus becomes our elder brother. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing, amen? Number three is spiritual grace. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you should be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this reminds you real quick that in the Gospels, Peter was a coward. Peter was an absolute coward who betrayed Jesus after having spent 3 years with him. He denies him there at the fire when this little maid girl comes around and confronts him. This isn't like some kind of major thing where he's standing in front of the Sadducees and the Pharisees or the high priest. It's a maid girl at a fire in a kind of a recluded place, and he denies Jesus. He was cowardly until the day of Pentecost came. Until the day of Pentecost came. And I got to tell you, this gives hope for every single one of us, because that day when the Holy Spirit came and rested upon Peter, that coward became a courageous man. That coward was turned from a mouse to a lion. With God's Holy Spirit presence and power upon him, he stands and he preaches and sees in his very first sermon over 3,000 people come to Christ. In other words, God gives him the ability to do what he could have never done without the Holy Spirit's power and presence in his life. There's a power that God imparts. On Pentecost, a whole bunch of humans became supernaturally endowed humans because of the Holy Spirit's power upon them. That's the whole thing with the tongues of fire resting upon every one of them. The Holy Spirit has come to empower them and change them from their limited ability to God's unlimited abilities. And you and I need the Holy Spirit's power to fill us every single day. Man, I'm preaching better than your amen, and I'm going to come down amen myself here. Golly. Go, Pastor Jeff. Amen. Amen. You guys got to help me out here a little bit. You're awfully quiet this morning. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be a good husband to this woman down here with the bright red hair. I need the Holy Spirit's power to be a good father to my son and my daughters. I need the Holy Spirit's power to be a good pastor to you. I need the Holy Spirit's power to be a good friend. I need his power in every aspect of my life. Number four is emotional grace. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit, and guys, you'll appreciate this analogy. The Holy Spirit is the oil that the engine of our emotions was meant to run on. If you were to crack open an engine of a car, you're going to find that there's pistons in there that rub up and down, creating the combustion that drives the car. And everything is great as long as the oil is there and the oil is fresh. How many of you like me, you know, you don't have a place or you don't know much about changing oil, so you go pay Valvoline $40 every 3 months to change that oil to keep it fresh and keep that car running good. As long as there's oil, those pistons rub up and down and create that combustion that causes your car to go down the highway. And everything's great as long as that oil is there, but, drain that oil and your car will only go a few miles and it will absolutely shut down on you and you will have a repair bill that'll knock you flat. Because your engine will lock up and the head will break and all kinds of stuff will happen and it's not going to be good. See, with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. Listen. It's amazing how calm I can be in a really stressful situation when I've prayed, when I've let God meet my needs, when I've asked the Holy Spirit to fill me, put me in a stressful situation. It's amazing how calm I can be without the Holy Spirit. Let me give you the flip side of the coin. It's amazing how carnal I can become in a highly stressful situation. How I can blow my top, how I can say things I regret, how I can just act like I'm not even a Christian, quite honestly. And you know what? Here's the truth of the matter. It's regardless of how well I know the Bible or how long I've been saved. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, man, you're going to see me act like I would have acted before I even knew the Lord if I don't have His power and His presence in my life. I'm just getting real with you. Is it okay to be real with you? You and I need the Holy Spirit's power and presence. You know why? Because you were never meant to operate without the Holy Spirit in your life. Just like that car was never meant to operate without oil. You were never meant to operate without the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week, how that was what was lost with the sin that entered in the Garden of Eden. That's where spiritual death came from. You're meant to operate with the Holy Spirit in your life. And one of the greatest things, most important things you can do is every day is wake up and ask the Holy Spirit to give you love and peace and direction for the day so that you can love like He would love. You can do what He's called you to do. I call it my sunrise declaration. I got that term from Pastor Jack Hayford. Every morning before I get out of my bed, I fall on my knees before my feet touch the ground, my knees touch the ground, and I'm asking God to give me His Holy Spirit's power and presence for that day because I so desperately need it. Number five is physical grace. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. How many of you are Christians in this room? How many of you are Christians? You know what? The Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. If the Holy Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, let me ask you a question. Do you think your physical problems are too difficult for Him? If He can literally raise somebody from the dead. By the way, it's very cool. I got to hear David Platt speak the other night at the Woman's Choice banquet, and I was rehearsing some things on David Platt before I went. And just recently, he's the director of the International Mission Board for the Southern Baptist Convention. $300 million that the cooperative program brings in for missions every year. Largest missions force in the world. And yet they're struggling greatly financially and have had to withdraw 600 missionary personnel off the field. But he told the story just recently that there was a person raised from the dead through Baptist missions. And do you know he got a big kickback from that because so many Baptists don't even want to hear anything like that? Can you believe that? Man, I was rejoicing in that. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus' dead body from the grave will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If He raised Jesus from the dead, He can do things in you too. He can touch your body. He can bring healing to your emotions. He can help you in whatever you are facing. Number six is mental grace. John 16:12-15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He'll glorify Me, for He'll take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things you can do for your marriage is just simply every day say, Holy Spirit, would you guide me into truth? Would you show me truth? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get into situations and circumstances, especially relationally, and sometimes they get complicated. Sometimes it's really hard to understand your way out or your way forward. And I can't tell you how many times just simply stopping and saying, Holy Spirit, would you just show me truth, has helped me to know the way forward. Not a way that I had in my own knowledge or my own instinct or whatever. There are many times where I was stubborn, I was prideful, I was hurtful. And just sincerely humbling myself before God and saying, God, would you show me things? Would you help me here? Holy Spirit, would you guide me into truth? He won't force you, by the way, but He will show you if you ask. There was a time in our marriage where my wife was suffering, where she wasn't thriving the way that I knew God wanted her to, and it was largely my fault. And I remember just asking the Lord for help in this area, and one day I felt the Lord so strongly, almost grab me by the collar and say, "You know what? You have got to stop being critical of her." And it was hard to hear, but it was so true. And he did it in a loving way. I knew that he loved me, that he loved Tracy. He loved her enough to get my attention and to speak to me in a way that a father would speak to a son and bring correction to a son. And you know what? Every time after, I said, "Lord, help me. I don't want to be critical. I want to be a blessing. I want to uplift. I want to encourage. I want to strengthen. I want to see my wife thrive." And every time I'd get off the path a little bit, boy, the Holy Spirit would be there again to shine the light on that and remind me, "Look what you're doing. This isn't helpful. You're hurting her instead of helping her." Let me tell you, God is so faithful. He will show us and he will help us. And we have something from God that people in this world don't have. And I'm just telling you, marriage was created by God. God wants to be in the center of it. And it's a beautiful thing when you are allowing the Lord to speak and move and work in your marriage. Amen. And lastly, vision and supernatural guidance. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I'll pour out of my spirit on all flesh." Everybody say, "All flesh." "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." I want you to know, this is a church that absolutely believes that. We believe that. I've been having visions, and Pastor Bert's been having dreams. The young men and the old men. I mean, it's got it all covered right there. Men servants and maid servants, men and women. There is no separation in the body of Christ. We all count. We're all a part of the team. His Spirit wants to be poured out on all of us. Amen? Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there's no revelation, the people just cast off restraint." I think it's one of the problems that we're facing in the church today. We're living distant from the Holy Spirit instead of living in sync with the Holy Spirit. When I got in my rental car just a day or two ago, the first thing you have to do, and it won't let you do this while you're driving down the road, I found out, which was good to know. You have to sync your phone with the system in the car. I don't have a car that's new enough to do that. Mine doesn't even have an auxiliary cord that I can pop in and play my music, you know. But a new car, you have to sync your phone with the system, and if you have your GPS up on your phone, it'll speak to you. If you make a call, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's pretty cool, but it's got to be synced, or else nothing works. It doesn't happen. My music won't play through the system. The GPS won't work through the system. The call won't work through the system. What would it be like if you and I just got in sync with the Holy Spirit every day? See, when the Holy Spirit comes, revelation comes. What's revelation? It's pulling back the curtain and showing you things that you need to see that you cannot see on your own. Things you cannot understand on your own. Let me give you a little homework assignment for every married couple in the house today. How about a vision retreat for your marriage? How about taking 2 or 3 days away from the kids, finding a little cabin somewhere, finding some kind of setting you like, or maybe a hotel next to some nice restaurants. I don't know, whatever is your thing. Find a place to get away for a couple of days. And make the whole theme of the time away times of prayer and asking God, "God, what do you have for us as a couple? What's your vision for us?" Now, you know, sometimes the guy has a vision and the gal has a vision. And you know what? I'm talking about vision, not division. His division, just in the simplest forms, means two visions, two different visions. But imagine what it looks like when a couple comes together in one unified vision. And by the way, the word provision, I like that word. It means for the vision. It's amazing how God will begin to provide and open doors and make a way when the two who've become one have one vision together in the Lord. Tracy and I already talking about, praying about, we talk about this quite often. What is the vision God has for us in the seasons to come in our life? What is it that he has for us right now, and what is it that he has for us in the future? Listen, folks, we've got to become spirit-dependent people. We've got to stop living in the power, ingenuity of our own flesh. It's very limited. And we've got to start living in the boundless energy and inspiration and guidance and wisdom and knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do really is ask. That's all you have to do. Would you stand with me today, congregation? Listen, young people who are not married in the house, you need the Holy Spirit to prepare you to be married one day. We all desperately need the Holy Spirit. Some of us in the house have received what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's very clear there in Scripture. Some haven't. The Bible says Jesus is the baptizer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and give me some fill-in back here for a moment, if you would, please. The Bible says Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. We make this way too complex sometimes. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or quite honestly, you need a refreshing of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your life, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes around the house and just put your hands out in front of you. Just like a, open your hands, would you? And if you this morning need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, would you pray with me right where you are today? Or if you need just a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit's presence. I love the book of Acts, because Acts 2, the Holy Spirit's poured out. Acts 4, they're asking for a refreshing of his presence. Acts 6, they're coming again. They need the Holy Spirit. It's why the early church was so dynamic. And we need the Holy Spirit in the world we live in today, or we're not going to make much of a difference in this world. With your eyes closed and your hands just held out, would you pray with me right now? Oh, precious Jesus, I thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Would you baptize me now with your Holy Spirit's power and presence? I thank you for the Holy Spirit who's called to walk alongside of me, to be in me, to empower me, to help me every single day to live like Jesus and to bring glory and honor to Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring out today a fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in my life. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you, Lord, in my life. I thank you for your peace and your presence and your power right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said together a strong amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask ministry team to come up real quick. And we're going to go ahead and close out this time. If you need prayer for whatever, would you come quickly? We're just going to sing the song through one time. Come and receive prayer and ministry if you need to. God bless you.